We haven't got the Bible readings up today, so I'm reading from 1 John 1, verses 5 to 10. If you wanted to find it on your Bible or your phone or something, you could. 1 John 1, verses 5 to 10. Otherwise, you can just listen and I'll read it out. And 1 John 1, 5 to 10, John says this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Okay, we're looking at this message now and we're probably going to go back over the passage a bit and a bit more into it tonight as well. So this is just sort of part one. So enjoy this and then you'll have to come and listen again to get part two. So that's all right. And for all those who are coming tonight who didn't come this morning, well, bad luck, you missed out. But what John starts by saying is this: God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is perfect, he is holy, he is pure, like white light is pure. God is pure, and there is no hint of darkness or sin or evil in God. Now, sometimes we know that we do charge God with sin. We say, I'm not sure if God's doing right here. What's going on in the world? God's not right. God's done things wrong. I don't like the way he's going about things. Let me tell you, God knows what he's doing. And what he says is always right. And what he does is always perfect. There is no hint of darkness in him. So if we have a hint of darkness in us and we're charging him with wrongdoing, then the problem's probably with us. God has no hint of darkness in him. If we claim we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie. Okay, you know, light is incredible, isn't it? The sun is, I read this morning, but I kind of knew it, 150 million kilometres away. That'll take you a while to get there in a car, Clyde, but not at your speed. You'll probably be there pretty quick. From 150 million kilometres away, it shines its light, and it is incredibly bright. You go outside, there is light everywhere, isn't it? Isn't that incredible? Light is so powerful in what that everything is exposed. God is pure light, and he is perfect, and his perfect light shines. So, to have fellowship with the pure God of light, we have to have a pure relationship with him. That means we have to walk in the light. So, his light shines on us, and we have fellowship with him when all around is in darkness. So it's a bit like if you've seen one of those stage lights, you know how the stage is dark, but there's this incredibly powerful light and it shines on the person and everything about that person is seen, isn't it? In a dark room. It's a bit like that. We walk in his light, we walk in that beam, and when we're in that, there is no darkness. But strangely enough, it's in our area. His light is shining on us. We can't be walking in the darkness and the light, is what John's saying. You're either in the dark or you're in the light. Okay? How can that be? Well, we're either walking with Jesus, then we're in the light, because Jesus described himself, he said, I am the light of the world. Now, hopefully, sorry, I'm just talking a bit loosely here. Hopefully, this will come together in a minute. So don't. It's a little bit conceptual at the moment. But Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. So when we trust in him, we are under his light. And everything is seen and known, and all of our darkness is driven out. We're made pure, and there's no longer any darkness in us. So, understand this. When you are purified by Jesus, when he has driven out all of your darkness, you are in the light. There is no darkness in you anymore. You're either impure or you're pure, right? Imagine this. You're going to drink a clean glass of water. It is absolutely pure, right? It's either pure or it's impure. If you put in just one little tiny minuscule coronavirus and then drink it, is it pure? You can't even see it, but it's not pure anymore, is it? Suddenly, it's dangerous. The water you drink is either pure or impure. There is no in-between. It's either got it or it hasn't got it, okay? And if it's got it, you become sick. You either walk in the light or you walk in the darkness. There's either purity or impurity. It's not that. It's easy to think sometimes that, like, walking in the light means we're doing good. And then, oh no, I sinned. I've stepped out of the beam, I'm in the darkness. And then I did good, so I'm back in the light. And so we spend all our lives going in and out of darkness and light. Okay? But then, to tell the truth, if that was the case, I'd always be in darkness. Because I'm always getting things wrong. There's always some sort of sin going on. But when we trust in Jesus, the blood of Christ, it says, purifies us from all evil. In other words, we walk in the light. So how do we walk in the light? We walk under Jesus. We walk in what he's done. It's not about being good or bad or getting it right and getting it wrong. Otherwise, we'd always be wrong. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this age, which means the devil, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So this is people who don't believe in Jesus. So they cannot see the light of the gospel. That's the good news of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. They can't see Christ. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. So we're not talking about ourselves, we're talking about Christ. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, that's what he said in the beginning, let there be light, has made his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now there's a lot to take in there, and you go home and read it again, 2 Corinthians 4, 4 to 6. But what he's saying is, unbelievers are walking in the darkness, and they cannot step into the light because they are blinded from even seeing the good news of Jesus. But then God says, let there be light. Now he said, let there be light. Imagine at the beginning of time when he created the world, and it's very hard for us to describe or understand a world that is in complete and utter darkness. But in this moment, God said, let there be light. And interestingly enough, that's even before he created the sun, 150 million kilometres away. He just said, let there be light, and there was light. Now this God says to over us, this is when we trust in Christ, let there be light. And when he says it, his light shines in our hearts, and he gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It shines, the darkness breaks in on us, and we're walking in the light, and we are changed. We are purified, we are made new. Okay, we're going on in, this is 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now to walk, when it talks about walking, we can talk about walking with God. Walking, I could say of Jody, when I married Jody, I began my walk with her. Now, it doesn't mean that we walk everywhere. Sometimes we sit. Okay, so it's beginning to live together, to live in that relationship. When you walk with God, you walk in a relationship with God. That's what it means. So to walk in the light is where we live all of our lives. And when we live all of our lives in the light under Jesus, We have fellowship with others in the light, because, hey, there's more beams than one. Okay? And we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his Son, Jesus, purifies us from all sin. Now this, when it says the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin, is what's called in Greek a present continuous tense. In other words, it's when you say, right, let's just say we're driving to South Australia and we're halfway down and we said we are driving to South Australia, it's a present continuous. It's been going on, it's going on now, and it's going to go on for a long time in the future. At least another 1,000 cars. Okay? That's the continuous tense. It's continuing and going on and on and on. And it's saying this, as we walk, as we live with Jesus, as we have fellowship with Jesus, that we walk in the light, as we trusted in Jesus, there is a constant and ongoing washing and purification happening by the blood of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not just a once off. As we walk in the light, that light is continually washing us. Actually, sorry to keep talking about COVID, it makes people's minds go off. But they, of course, they found with viruses that if you shine UV light on them, it kills them. Now imagine that as we're walking in the light of Christ is shining on us, and that's shining through us and constantly cleansing us of all our sin. It's killing the sin as it's shining through us. His light is constantly purifying us, destroying it, the sin in us. When we trust in Jesus, that's what's happening. Not only has he purified us from all sin to begin with, he is purifying us from all sin every day. And so we remain in the light. That's good, isn't it? Isn't that good to know? Because sometimes we worry. I mean, we're very insecure people, and if we sin, we might think, oh, I've just sinned, I'm out of the light, I'm out of relationship with God, it's all finished. But it doesn't happen like that. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He is the one continually to purify us. It's a bit like, anybody who's ever owned a swimming pool? Anybody here owned a swimming pool? No, we did for a while. It took Craig Saunders, took him about swimming pools sometime. He had a great joy in them. He built a roof over his and emptied the water and left it like it. That's great. Because swimming pools are really hard work. And occasionally, generally at the start of the season, you'd walk up to your pool and it is full of leaves and dirt. The water's green. It's horrible. And you put in chemicals and you work on it, and you scoop, and you clean, and you put in the creepy crawly. You put a lot of time into it, and usually within a week or two, you can get the water pure. But that's not the end of the story. Do you know that, I'd say this, having run a pool, you have to work on it every single day. You got to go out with the scoop, get the bugs out, get the leaves out. Got to check the chemicals. Oh, I need to put a bit of chlorine. I need to put some acid in. I need to do whatever. You're constantly cleaning it. And then the next day, you go back and you've got to do the same. If you leave it for a day, about 3 days off, and you go back out there and it's like it was at the start of the season. Now, what I'm saying is this. Jesus has purified us, and every day he tends to us. He constantly purifies us. He is purifying us from all sin. And that is really good news. He keeps on doing it. Because it's easy for us to think, to be a Christian is this. Just do your best. Try not to sin. What that's really saying is if a Christian is a person who's trying to do good, trying to do their best, they are purifying themselves. They're trying to keep their own pool clean. And then what happens is, if you're saying, I'm doing my best, you'll come to think of yourself as, I'm a pretty good person. I know I make the occasional slip up, but that's not so bad. God accepts me anyway. I've only got one little virus in my glass. I won't get sick. I'm basically good. God knows I'm a good person. Actually, that's never good enough. You cannot purify yourself. You need his light to shine through that glass of water and the UV light to kill the bad stuff. Only Jesus can purify us, and when he has purified us, we are completely clean. Without him, we are helpless in our sin, but with him, he cleanses us and he goes on cleansing us, and we live in that washing, and it all comes through his death at Calvary. So in verse 8, John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, John was faced with some people, and this is what we're going to talk about more tonight, but he was faced with some people who believed that they did not sin. So he's saying, you guys are fooling yourself. And they also, these people, what they did, they believed that it really didn't matter what they did, because they believed, because they were Christians, because they were through the door, they didn't sin anymore. Well, they did in their flesh, in their body, but that wasn't really them, so it didn't matter. So it didn't count what they did. It wasn't really sin. They believed that they, in a sense, had been delivered from sin, and they'd been delivered from their sinful nature. And so as believers, they could then, if it didn't really matter what they did with their bodies, they could do anything. It wasn't really sin. It didn't make them impure. And what? And so they said, we've got fellowship with God, and we have no sin that counts. And so they just become, well, they did all sorts of sin, believing they were right with God and believing it didn't matter. But John says this, you're kidding yourself. You must confess, not that you sin occasionally, but actually that you have a sin nature. There's this sinful nature which is with us. If you claim that you don't sin, if you claim you don't have a sinful nature, you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. If we claim to never sin, then we'll say we never need Jesus. Can you see that? But if we claim we have sinned and we will sin, then we need Jesus all the time to go on purifying ourselves. The admission of sin is the admission of the necessity of Jesus. And we do. We need him all the time. And yet when you live with him all the time, he is cleansing us and purifying us, and we're going on walking in righteousness and everything is good. But if we claim to say we haven't, if we claim we have no sin, we're saying we don't need Jesus, then we don't trust in Jesus, and then we never are forgiven. Because he says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, confession really means this. The word confession means acknowledge. I acknowledge that I am sinful. I acknowledge that I need his forgiveness. When you come to that acknowledgement or that confession, it's humbling. You humbly come before God, saying, I need you. I can't do without you. I have nothing without you. When we come to him, knowing that we can't possibly purify ourselves, when we admit that we can't possibly purify ourselves, when we admit I've fallen short of the glory of God, he's faithful and just, and he forgives us our sins, and he purifies us from all unrighteousness. Can you see? But if we say we have no sin, then we're not purified because we don't admit it. And we don't need Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who can purify us. Now, it's not saying you've got to confess every sin. Because, it's important at times to confess. Sometimes we really do bad stuff and we need to humble up to God. And that's the right thing to do. But you cannot get to the bottom of all that you've done wrong. It's not saying confess everything, because you'll miss a whole heap. You don't realise that you sin more than you think. Okay? But every time we fall short of the holiness of God, we are sinning. So we fall short. It's not saying that you confess every sin. It says that if we say we have no sin, if we say we don't have sin at all, right? If we say there's no sin in us, then we deceive ourselves. But if we confess we have sin, then he forgives us of all our sin. Because then we repent. which means we turn from our sin. And we turn, but we can't do that without acknowledging and confessing that that sin is there. It's like this. If you've ever seen people in a relationship problem where they have a big problem relationally with somebody else, and they're basically standing with their back to that person, stamping their feet, you know, they won't turn from their sin until they acknowledge it's there, will they? Have you ever seen that? And they cannot say sorry until they know they've done wrong, can they? You just can't do it. You just, I'm right, the other person's wrong. When the other person realises they're wrong, then we can get somewhere. That's what they're saying. Yep. And then you acknowledge that, oh, I'm wrong, and all of a sudden, hey, you can have reconciliation. But until you acknowledge your sin, you are absolutely stuck. And it's the same before God. Because until we actually say to God, I've done wrong here, then we never actually will accept the forgiveness that comes through Jesus. Because, you see, what those persons, have you ever seen that relationship problem that's going on? They just say there's two people who are struggling to get on. One person will say this. They'll say they have no sin. Now, they won't say that. What they'll say is this. I know I have problems, but the other person, they've got real problems. In other words, I know I'm not perfect, but I know I'm pretty perfect. And is there going to be a future for that relationship? No. Until you confess or acknowledge to yourself first, I have stuffed up. I've got it wrong. And then, when you're at that place where it seems like it's all lost because I've just said I've got it wrong, you're actually at the best place. Because then you're at the place where, well, in the case of our relationship with God, when we acknowledge our sin, then we can be forgiven and purified from all unrighteousness. Now, what I'll say it again. What I'm not saying is that as we go on confessing it, we have to confess every sin before we can be forgiven. It's not saying that. We acknowledge that we have a sin nature before God. We acknowledge we've fallen short of Him and we need Him. And then we constantly rely on Jesus. Because when we walk in the light, we are saying through Jesus, we actually, by walking the light, we belong to a different realm, to a different kingdom, the kingdom of light. We have been transferred to another kingdom. Paul says in Colossians 1, and it's in the middle of the sentence, so, but we're being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to God, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So you who trusted in Christ are now in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. That's right, the kingdom of darkness. You were in the kingdom of darkness. Now you've been moved to the kingdom of light and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's the kingdom of light, Jesus' kingdom, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So if we don't say, we don't have to say that we're without sin. Because what I can say right now is this, quite simply. I sin, but I'm in the kingdom of light. Right now I'm in the kingdom of light. I have been transferred to the kingdom of light, and the whole time I'm in this light, I'm being washed by the blood of Jesus. And that light is constantly shining through me and purifying me, and it's ongoing, and it's good. I am pure. Now, why does John tell us this? Why does he tell us that we should admit to our sin and that we need Jesus to purify us? Why does he say, confess your sin? Why does he say, confess your sinfulness? Because if we acknowledge our sin, doesn't that make us more likely to sin? Or maybe if we acknowledge our sin, we're saying it's okay to sin. Is that why is he saying this? Isn't acknowledging our sin making us more likely to sin? In the next verse he says this, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Okay. Can you get what he... Actually, confessing your sin, acknowledging it to God, being wary that it's there, and constantly going and saying, I need Jesus every hour, I need Jesus every minute, that actually drives us not to sin. He's never saying, and the Bible never says, it's okay to sin. It's not. Okay? But this constant coming before God in humility actually drives us from sin. Confessing that we need his help, confessing that we've sinned and that continue to sin, confessing that we need his purification, and doing that again and again drives us from sin. It doesn't make us more likely to sin. It's a constant reminder that we've sinned and we need to confess, and we need his purification of sin, and that drives us from sin. It doesn't give us the freedom to keep sinning. So God's forgiveness drives us not to sin. And so we walk in the light. And we live in the light. And we have fellowship with God under the knowledge of his constant forgiveness and purification. It's ongoing purification. And so from last week we said this. Last week, remember, he said that we have fellowship with God the Father and we have fellowship with God the Son as we walk in the light, and we write this, John says, so that your joy might be complete. Complete joy comes from knowing we have fellowship with the Father, and pure fellowship with the Father comes as we acknowledge we need Jesus and he purifies us from all sin and he makes us pure, and we go on being pure and we go on walking in the light, and we go on in fellowship with God, and we go on living in joy. That's all walking in the light. Father, I pray that you would give us understanding to this, that we might live in the fullness it is to live in a pure relationship with you. We want to thank you that Jesus has purified us. Thank you that he has done everything needed to make us right with you. And I pray, Father, that we would live in the glory and the truth of that. And Father, that you would cause us to be a humble people who acknowledge our sin and our sinfulness to you, that we might live in all the glory of your purity, the glory of the righteousness that comes to us through faith. And Father, that we would know this, that we wouldn't sin, that we would go on walking in your truth, in your life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.